Tonight, what Charles and William aren't telling you about their secret millions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for paying your rent every now and then.
Their private estates, the duchies of Lancaster and Cornwall, make Charles and William £50 million a year. But they have repeatedly refused to reveal exactly which properties they own.
Can we have a report on the list of properties?
I don't see why.
And details of how these estates make their staggering profits and from where have remained secret until now.
Wow.
Land registry titles.
God almighty.
This is a really, really important revelation.
Thousands of documents obtained by dispatches reveal how hard up government departments, schools, and even the NHS are helping to keep the cash rolling in for Charles and William.
He's making money off us, isn't he? Making money off the poor person, isn't he?
It's all shrouded in secrecy, isn't it? I don't know why we don't find out more about it, actually.
Our evidence shows how the commercial activities of these private estates are undermining their environmental commitments.
Well, this is the worst performing kind of property.
Well, we can reveal to you that the landlord we are talking about is the Duchy of Cornwall, which was managed for about 50 years by Charles, who is now the king,
right,
and is now run by Prince William.
Okay, that does surprise me.
I think when you own so much, it's hard to comprehend how people could appreciate such a small beach. They clearly don't understand who we are and what we value.
Call the police!
Protesters, then a landslide.
They are exempt from most of the taxes we all pay, and there are now calls for that to change.
This would be a brilliant time for the monarch to say, I'm going to be open and I want to be treated as fairly as anybody. It is public money, it's taxpayers' money. Your money, it's my money, it's the viewers' money.
The King, the Prince, and their secret millions. Dispatches. Hashtag C4 Dispatches.
There is no cost of living crisis for the royal family. In 2025, they will receive £132 million of public money from the sovereign grant to pay for their official duties and royal residences. A rise of more than 50% from this year. The King and Prince William also have private sources of wealth, including two extensive land estates, the Duchy of Cornwall and the Duchy of Lancaster, which the royals have managed to hang on to for more than 700 years. And in all that time, details of how exactly they make their millions have been kept secret from us, even from Parliament.
Will you make the information available about the investments in order that judgments can be made I and third parties about what is ethical and sustainable?
I don't think this is an issue that is.
Is that a no then? Is
relevant
it?
to this committee?
Well, can we have a report on the list of properties?
I don't see why.
But dispatches, in a joint investigation with the Sunday Times, has found a way to retrieve details of over 5,000 of their properties and land holdings, and has conducted the most comprehensive analysis of their leases and land holdings to date.
ITV BBC Studios 2019.
Little of which was revealed to the public when Charles invited TV cameras in to witness the Duchy of Cornwall's work.
I always wondered where you learn.
Charles and William say the profits from their private estates are used to fund official and charitable work as well as their private activities. The documents we have obtained show exactly where they're making their income from. Evidence that until now has been kept hidden.
Zooming in on a map of the southwest.
In Dartmoor, the Duchy have a number of ways they make money from the taxpayer. local Conservative councillor Philip Sanders has grown up around the moor most of his life and knows a thing or two about the Duchy's interests here.
I think it's a marvellous place to be, and I love it. It can be very unforgiving.
Foreboding grey stone buildings.
Dartmoor Prison. Owned by the Duchy of Cornwall, the Prince of Wales' private estate. It now lies empty because of a radon gas scare. But despite the fact it doesn't house a single prisoner, our research reveals the latest lease is worth £1.5 million a year to the Duchy. That's £37.5 million over 25 years. By obtaining the lease, we've established that any repairs to the failing building will also need to be paid for by the taxpayer.
They are a very shrewd and very commercial landlord. They're not looking to give away money. They are a business. They're there to try and make a profit. They don't do it for, you know, just for love.
Charles and William's private estates both claim they are not funded by the taxpayer. But the prison is just one example of many where they are making an income from the taxpayer. Just down the road, we found the state school in Princetown is paying thousands of pounds in rent every year. And we found at least six other state schools that make payments to the Prince of Wales private estate worth nearly £600,000 over the lifetime of the leases.
Soldiers training on Dartmoor.
Elsewhere on Dartmoor, as Prince of Wales, Charles granted a license for army training on his land. When the Duchy of Cornwall let the cameras in 2 years ago, an official let slip the deal with the Ministry of Defence was a lucrative one.
That is something you wouldn't want to see go away. It's a big income stream. His Royal Highness is very keen that we support military training.
But some question whether the Duchy should be charging our troops, who are there to defend king and country.
I see no reason why the Duchy couldn't agree to let the MOD use the moor without charge and let them train for free, because it's the training of our troops for the defence of our land.
We know from our documents they own the land, but just how much are Charles and now William making from our troops? The Duchy do not make this information public, so Dispatch has submitted a Freedom of Information request to the Ministry of Defence. It refused to reveal the amounts involved and sent us this, a heavily redacted document.
My goodness, so you've got absolutely no information. Zero information. This is precisely the sort of transparency that one would want, not out of just, you know, silly curiosity, but it's actually to provide confidence that our money, our taxpayers' money, is being properly used, and confidence in the monarchy that they are acting in a moral, appropriate manner in the way that they contract with public bodies. I think there's a public right to know how much it's costing.
Baroness Margaret Hodge.
What have they got to hide here? I'd like to ask questions about why the head of the armed services is perhaps putting the private profits of his ancient medieval estate ahead of the interests of British defence.
The armed forces are at the heart of what the royal family do for the country. As king, Charles is its head. William is Commodore-in-Chief of Submarines and Colonel-in-Chief of the Army Air Corps. Our research has confirmed, out of the public eye, Charles and William are cashing in on the armed forces. Our research reveals that the Duchy of Cornwall has charged the Navy over £1 million since 2004 to allow it to build and use jetties and to moor warships, some of them at the very Naval College where both men trained. The taxpayer has also funded a new oil storage jetty at Torpoint for the Navy to refuel. the income to the duchy, £10,000 a year for the next 120 years. That's £1.2 million.
The king and queen emerge from a doorway to applaud.
The NHS is another publicly funded body that Charles has been keen to support.
The NHS and the entire country has been through the most testing time in the service's history. And in tribute to them, we have come together as a nation to thank them for their skill, professionalism, and dedication.
We have discovered that the NHS is helping to fund the King's income. Last year, his private estate, the Duchy of Lancaster, announced it was delighted to be able to help and support Guy's and St Thomas's NHS Foundation Trust in London to find a home for its new ambulance fleet. What it didn't make clear was that the deal was worth £11.4 million over 15 years.
And I think this asks really searching questions about quite how they are making their profits. Why are there not peppercorn rents or social rents being charged for the NHS, for example?
The duchies consider themselves to be private estates, not businesses, and are exempt from paying any corporation tax.
The money gained from this lease will go into the Duchy of Lancaster. Now, that's OK if this is a building that the hospital needs, but what we require from that is total transparency to ensure that this is a good deal, we're not being taken for a ride and paying too much for it. And then also what should happen is that the profits that the duchies make out of it, they should be paying corporation tax on that, as would any other British company making money in this way.
Panbury, near Dorchester. Famous as a model village for Charles's architectural and environmental ambitions. Where some say the taxpayer is being royally ripped off.
This is the Queen Mother Square. Here's the Queen Mother.
A statue.
Firefighter and union rep Dave Roberts has come to visit the Panbury fire station that's been designed to fit in with Charles's architectural vision. The duchy charged the fire brigade £612,000 to lease the land.
It's a very imposing building, built in a grand neoclassical style. Coming up on our right-hand side now, we have a mock balcony. So some people have compared this to the balcony which is at the front of Buckingham Palace, the proper walkout balcony.
The King and Queen on the balcony following the coronation.
I think that the taxpayers should be questioning the design ethics behind this building. It makes me very, very angry because I look at the underinvestment that is being put into the UK Fire and Rescue Service, of which Dorset and Wiltshire is paying the price at the moment. And I think that decisions like this are pure folly.
Our research shows just how commercial Charles and now William's private estates have become. They claim they set their rents at market rates, and our research reveals what a nice little earner Panbury has become for them in leasing or selling land.
Views from the outside of a sleek black car with dark tinted windows as it travels along wide streets.
Such as profiting from commercial giants like Tesco. And local businesses such as the Duchess of Cornwall pub. It earned them a hefty premium. If it's profitable, and the royals have done their best to promote it, the duchy will earn more. Cheers. Remarkably, even supporters of local charities and community groups are doing their bit for the royals' bottom line. Dorchester Community Church had to chip in for their lease, £4,000 a year. And Charles even made money from Panbury's deceased, as he charged Dorchester Town Council a one-off payment for the local cemetery. Charles became patron of St John Ambulance Charity earlier this year. But the duchy still charged it nearly £60,000 to use its land. Another role the royals enjoy taking on is supporting charities. It's good for donations for the charity and good for the royals' public image.
I'm here, Melchett.
Oh, Your Royal Highness. Very good to see you, sir. Come on, even five-year-olds have mastered Zoom.
Sorry about that. Complicated stuff, Zoom.
Stephen Fry smiles.
We've discovered millions of pounds in rent secretly flowing from charities into Charles and now William's pocket. Camelford House in London, owned by the Duchy of Cornwall for decades. In 2005, the royals received a share of the building's rents. Among the tenants are charities like Comic Relief and other charities that the King is a patron of, such as the end-of-life care charity Marie Curie and Macmillan, the cancer charity.
Now, I've been very proud to be patron of Macmillan Cancer Support for the last 23 years.
Since the deal began, we can reveal it's earned the duchy at least £22 million.
In the court of public opinion, you always have to be, you know, cleaner than clean. And if there is a question mark over a charity that has a royal patronage and therefore gains extra income, and then that income is then used to pay rent back to the royals, it just doesn't feel quite right.
King Charles' private estate, the Duchy of Lancaster, owns the coastline from Barrow in Furness to the River Mersey. It's part of the 18,000 hectare estate, mainly in the north of England, that funds the King's household on top of money it receives from the taxpayer via the sovereign grant. The River Mersey, we can reveal, helps keep the cash rolling in for King Charles. So are Liverpudlians aware who is making money from their famous ferry?
I have no idea who owns the foreshore.
I believe it's a gentleman from Liverpool.
I don't know, not at all. The council?
I think his name's Chris.
Because the pier stands on the foreshore, land owned by Charles, the publicly funded ferry operator has to pay the Duchy of Lancaster at least £130,000 since 2011.
I wouldn't be surprised to know it's the King, yeah.
Again, he's making money off us, isn't he? Making money off the poor person, isn't he? That's what he's doing. Not putting it back into Liverpool, is he?
Yeah, it's quite a surprise, really, for a public service, for him to be renting that out to us.
That's shocked me, yeah.
It's all shrouded in secrecy, isn't it? I don't know why we don't find out more about it, actually.
And Charles's private estate gets a cut of the money made by the dock. Just because transportation containers cross the foreshore, the King can cash in. Charles even earns £300 a year from a pipe adjoining a sewage works that discharges effluent into the dock. All of which was news to Liverpool Mayor Steve Rotherham.
It was a surprise to me that these things aren't owned by the people. This river has been the lifeblood of the people of the Liverpool City region for centuries. Surely that's something that we don't have to pay or shouldn't have to pay an additional charge on because it's for the public.
Steve Rotherham fears his ambitious plans to generate electricity in the Mersey estuary could be affected by the charges.
I want to build a Mersey tidal project. It's going to be the largest in the whole of Europe. And it seems that somebody who is such an environmentalist would be supportive of a project of that magnitude. And yet, currently, we would have to pay an additional cost every single year for 120 years. Why would anybody want to make money off something that is for the good of the planet, but also the good of the people locally?
Publicly, King Charles has said he does not want to boost his fortune when it comes to green energy. Wind farms at sea have earned a fortune for the Crown Estate. As its profits rise, so does the amount Charles gets from the sovereign grant. These profits were set to soar dramatically, and Charles gained much praise and publicity by announcing he would hand some of his share back to the people.
King Charles has asked for a surge in profits from six new offshore wind farms to be used for public good rather than go to his own pocket. It's expected to make a massive profit this year for the King, in part because of six new wind farms.
But our documents reveal that out of the public eye, the Duchy of Lancaster is set to continue profiting handsomely from wind farms. We have found leases that show the King is set to receive a massive income stream from power cables crossing his land on the Lancashire coast from wind farms. Rent from just five leases are due to pay out a minimum of £28 million.
King Charles said that he would waive some of the profits from wind farm development in the North Sea from the Crown Estate. But he's made no similar declaration around profits made from the Duchy of Lancaster in this regard. Ultimately, you know, any additional charges that are being charged by landowners here is going to add to the cost of energy. What we don't need is sort of rents being charged for simply for access to this foreshore that has been owned by a medieval institution since time immemorial.
Author Guy Shrubsole.
And Prince William can cash in, as the Duchy of Cornwall gets money from the foreshore too, in places such as Plymouth Harbour, by charging for moorings, ferries and boatyards. A percentage of the Harbour Commissioner's profits brings in approximately £200,000 a year.
Tamar Bridge from the air.
Even Tamar Bridge made money for the Duchy when it was built. £1,000, as effectively, they owned the thin air.
May God bless her and all that sail in her.
William and Kate are supporters of the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, another charity that the King is patron of. But it's charged small amounts of rent by the royals to put its landing slipways on the foreshore owned by the Duchy of Cornwall.
Most of the foreshore around the United Kingdom is owned by the Crown Estate. They have to give their profits to the Exchequer, and then some of that goes to the royal household, but a lot of it comes back to us, the taxpayer. I think that's a much, much better system.
Soaring over a rocky coastline.
William's private estate says it's run according to his own social and environmental values, protecting the land and coastline for future generations. But what happened at Whipsoddery Beach in Newquay has shown the Duchy to be dangerously out of touch with local people and has seriously undermined those environmental values.
Footage shows a huge portion of a grey-brown cliff face suddenly give way and collapse onto the beach below. A young man in shorts stands on rocks.
Okay, so this is now pretty much the only access to the beach. And as you can see, it's a bit of a mission.
Since the catastrophic rockfall occurred here last November, the usual beach access has been closed to the public. So this is the only way Andrew Roby, who led a campaign to try and save the beach, can get to it at low tide.
I've lived here my whole life. I mean, look around, it's a stunning place to grow up. Yeah, it's a little bit emotional being down here, really. I think since last November when the cliff came down, you know, we've been denied access to the beach. It's sad to think that, you know, it might stay like this. Obviously, this huge amount of rock wasn't here, and it's a mess. It's completely and utterly destroyed.
In 2019, the developer won planning permission in the teeth of local opposition to build seven holiday homes on Whipsoddery Cliff. Because the Duchy of Cornwall owns the beach, it could have prevented access to the developers. But instead, it allowed heavy machinery to be brought in to begin blocking up natural sea caves, driving steel rods into the rock before spraying it with concrete. All in return for a sum believed locally to be just £7,500. Gus Horsley is an experienced amateur geologist. He wrote a report in 2021 warning of the dangers of developing on the cliff, which had previously been officially listed as unstable.
My assessment at the time was that there would be what I termed a catastrophic collapse at some point in the future. And I informed Dutchie of that fact. Since then, it's collapsed in exactly the places that I predicted it would occur. So why it was actually allowed to happen, I haven't the faintest idea.
Money and profit and greed. It's as simple as that.
A crane arm holding aloft a bulldozer is reaching out over the edge of the cliff.
The crane weighed about 40 tons. It was very close to the edge, and it was lowering a small bulldozer and a drilling rig to drill into the roof of the sea caves at the base.
In response, Andrew put out a video on social media.
We want to kick up a stink. I, for one, and a lot of people do, cannot lie down and let this happen. Okay, and if you feel the same, get yourself along, make your voice heard. Cheers.
Protesters rallied on the clifftops and bombarded the Duchy with emails. The message was unambiguous. They wore William and Kate masks to ask the royals directly, why are you allowing this? When they got no answer from the Duchy, protesters went down to the beach to try to interrupt the work of the developer's contractor. But they were met with some resistance.
And then the security guards basically started manhandling them off the beach, dragging them away. Seeing local women who have children who come down or used to come down to this beach being dragged off by a load of heavies was, yeah, it's hard to stomach.
You start hitting the waist a little bit, come on.
A security guard wrestles with a protester on the ground.
You cannot hold the police!
Soon after being sent footage of the confrontation by protesters, the Duchy finally suspended its agreement with the developer. But 8 months later, the protesters' worst fears were realised.
The Earthshot Prize 2023.
The shared goals for our generation are clear. Together, we must protect and restore nature.
The cliff collapses.
Clean our air. Revive our oceans. Build a waste-free world. And fix our climate.
When I see the Duchy talking about the environment, I just feel like the words are hollow. There was opportunity for them along the way to step in. I think when you own so much, it's hard to comprehend how people could appreciate such a small beach. It gets lost in their massive swathes of land that they all own. They don't have the connection. They clearly don't understand who we are and what we value.
Hashtag C4 Dispatches.
For more than 50 years, King Charles has warned of threats to the natural environment and spoken out on green issues, winning him international plaudits and awards. Even in his recent tour of Australia, he drove home the same message.
The regular roll of unprecedented events is an unmistakable sign of climate change, to which Australia is so particularly vulnerable. It is in all our interests to be good stewards of the world and good ancestors to those who come after us, because we are all connected, both as a global community and with all that sustains life.
In fact, our research shows in detail how the close connection the Duchy of Cornwall has to the mining industry raises questions about the King and William's environmental commitments.
King Charles and Prince William often talk a good talk when it comes to the environment, but I think it's really important to be looking at what is actually going on their extensive land holdings to see if they're also walking the walk. Are they good stewards of the land they possess?
A detonation in a quarry.
Janice Sperring has lived for nearly 30 years in Gunnislake, near Hinxton Down, an area of outstanding natural beauty. In 2004, the Duchy of Cornwall partnered with a concrete production company, one of Germany's biggest emitters of greenhouse gases. The deal allowed them to blast for stone chips to be used by the road and building industries. It made the Duchy £250,000, plus a cut of the profits.
Janice's small dark brown dog.
When it blasts, the dog will start, she'll jump up, or sometimes she'll bark. They just frighten the life out of me.
Lorries come and go at the quarry entrance.
There seems to be a disregard for the impact it's having on the surrounding areas, the houses, people's health. I'd like to put this quarry next to Buckingham Palace for a few months and see how they get on with the dust and the fumes.
The Duchy is no longer taking a cut from the minerals extracted at the quarry. But it is still making money by charging the company an annual rent for part of the land.
By investing in nature-based solutions, we can help mitigate the worst effects of our warming planet and put it back on a healthier path.
Speaking at the Tusk Awards, November 2023.
Our research shows how the Duchy of Cornwall isn't just profiting from existing mining deals, but striking new ones, often at odds with local residents and environmental campaigners. As recently as this June, it granted a new license to a drilling company to search across Cornwall, including in Weal Vaw, a place of outstanding heritage and natural beauty, which was a shock to many local residents like John Lake.
I personally viewed that as a great sadness and a great disappointment, because these are the people that we know have done so much towards sustainability and have worldwide acknowledged credentials in green and environmental concerns, that we expected something different from them.
The Duchy says it's responding to the government's industrial strategy that encourages investment in UK sources of minerals, and all companies have to meet high environmental standards. However, the people living in Weal Vaw are worried about the effect new mine works might have on historic environmental damage caused by mining in the past.
150 years ago, the Great Weal Vaw mine here was one of the biggest and most successful mines in the area. But the legacy of that mining is that the water that is now contained within that mine has become contaminated with metals. And so that water then eventually finds its way into the local stream that cannot support fish life. So the whole ecosystem of the river itself is affected by the pollution from the abandoned mines. The danger is that you come in and start mining here again and drilling more boreholes, is that whole situation is going to be exaggerated. So the best thing to do is just leave it alone.
In total, Dispatches has found 351 mineral rights titles owned by the Duchy of Cornwall. The Duchy have written to homeowners in the affected areas to clarify its ownership of the mineral rights, while reassuring them that there is no current intention to work the minerals. But It has just signed a deal to drill in 25 square miles of the Tamar Valley, an area of outstanding natural beauty. The Duchy of Lancaster is also in the mining business. In South Wales, it owns two quarries, Llythallan, producing ready-mix concrete, and Pant Quarry. Another mine, close to the FA's training ground near Burton-on-Trent, brings at least £50,000 a year.
When you've had King Charles, when he was Prince of Wales, talking about disliking carbuncles on the landscape and opposing the despoilation of the countryside, quite rightly, I think it raises interesting questions about how precisely the duchies are making their profits and look to make them in future. And are they living up to their talk of environmental stewardship of the land?
The duchies also make money from renting out private homes to tenants. Prince William's private estate, the Duchy of Cornwall, has around 600 tenants. Some claim they're being seriously let down.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for paying your rent every now and then.
Landlords are under increasing pressure from the government to make homes they own more energy efficient and cheaper to heat.
We all know that the poorest people in our country often live in cold, drafty homes. Many rent from private landlords below decent standards.
Recently, it announced a crackdown on homes with the poorest energy performance ratings being rented out.
So I can tell you today, we will end this injustice. Decent standards for private rented homes.
The Duchy has made promises to reduce all its carbon emissions. But working with the Mirror newspaper, our analysis of its rented residential property reveals many homes it owns are still in the worst category of energy efficiency. Out of nearly 500 certified homes, we found 14% failed with F or G ratings. Some tenants say they are in fuel poverty, and their homes are cold and hard to heat. One sent us photos of mould and watermarks that appear every winter. None felt able to go public with their criticism of the Duchy of Cornwall. They told us,
"It gets miserably cold in winter. I can only heat two rooms in my home."
When the wind blows, the curtains start swinging. There's no heating upstairs at all.
The house is cold and it's a struggle. But there's nowhere else to live here. They're not good landlords.
Yeah, so this one here.
We showed our evidence to the chairman of the Property Energy Professionals Association.
Well, this is the worst performing kind of property. It is more likely to be a cold, drafty, hard to heat property. The rating is very, very low indeed. In terms of carbon emissions, this is a very polluting property, 13 tonnes of carbon, which is more than double a typical property in the UK. I would kind of expect to see a very small landlord here, somebody who doesn't really understand the regulations. Maybe they're a landlord that doesn't care about the regulations and are just hoping they don't get noticed.
Well, we can reveal to you that the landlord we are talking about is the Duchy of Cornwall, which was managed for about 50 years by Charles, who is now the king,
right,
and is now run by Prince William.
Okay, that does surprise me. That is surprising to hear.
Last year, the Duchy of Cornwall's annual report said costs and the historic nature of its properties meant it might not be feasible to comply with future green legislation. Landlords can be fined up to £5,000 for breaking the rules. The Duchy of Cornwall told us, "We are a responsible landlord committed to continuous improvement of our properties. We work closely with our tenants to actively address the energy efficiency of properties across our portfolio, whilst minimising the impact on residents." Our investigation has shed light on how the royals are making millions in secret without public scrutiny. Sometimes at odds with their public statements. It's clear the royals' private estates are not only profiting from the taxpayer, they're also operating like any other commercial business. Is it now time they opened their books to proper scrutiny and paid taxes in the same way as everyone else? Months of research by dispatches and the Sunday Times has exposed the way the royals have profited from vast secretive business empires, the Duchy of Cornwall and the Duchy of Lancaster. As king, Charles now oversees the Duchy of Lancaster, and William is the new Duke of Cornwall. Prince William chairs the Duchy's ruling council and promises to carry on largely as his father did before him.
Well, rest assured, I'm not going to rot the boat whenever it's my turn, so don't worry about that.
Yes.
And why would William want to rock a boat that made more than £20 million in profit last year? Our analysis confirms just how commercially driven the King and William's private estates have become.
The King in a beige suit.
As well as the small farms and family businesses they like to talk about, there's been a move into lucrative land deals. A large warehouse in Milton Keynes, bought a few years ago by the Duchy of Cornwall for £38 million, was sold on for £71 million at a profit of £33 million. Money also pours in from a wide range of businesses operating on their land, such as supermarkets, car dealerships, an investment bank, Crown Plaza hotels, Currys, Pets at Home, and a Lidl. And all of this income boosted by the Duchy's not having to pay corporation or capital gains tax.
When you actually look at the activity that takes place in these duchies, a lot of them is property transactions, huge property portfolios. I think there is a wrong commercial advantage to the Duchy of Cornwall and to the Duchy of Lancaster in that they don't pay the taxes that an ordinary business would have to pay.
The Duchy of Lancaster told us it operates as a commercial company, but said it couldn't comment on royal finances in general. The Duchy of Cornwall told us it is a private estate with a commercial imperative. Attempts by Parliament to understand just why tax isn't paid have never got very far.
Well, there's something shockingly wrong with a system where you allow a lot of profits to be made out of property and you're not finding a way of taxing it properly. If you're saying the system is such that none of these property empires make tax, so therefore the Duchy of Cornwall shouldn't pay tax, that's a shocking thing to say.
The Duchy is a very unusual organisation. It's a private estate. It's not a corporation. It's a private estate in many respects like other private estates, but in one or two respects not like a private estate.
I mean, to be absolutely honest, I probably was able to calculate more readily what Google should have paid us in taxes and Amazon and Starbucks than I was able to see whether or not public money was being properly used and whether or not the royal family, through these organisations, were making a proper contribution back into the public purse for the public good.
Charles and William are not legally obliged to pay income tax either. Both have volunteered to pay it on their duchy income, but only on what they say is left after spending on official activities. Prince William has refused to make public the amount paid. Since becoming king, neither has Charles. As private income, they don't have to declare what the earnings are spent on.
Today, we will increase the lower rate of capital gains tax from 10 to 18% and the higher rate from 20 to 24%.
With the Chancellor demanding that individuals and businesses pay more tax to fix the public finances, is it now time for the King and Prince to be taxed like the rest of us?
I think it's past time for the Duchies of Cornwall and Lancaster to ultimately be dissolved and folded into the Crown Estate, where they have to give their profits to the Exchequer and then some of that comes back to us, the taxpayer. This isn't about whether you believe there should be a monarch or not, it's simply about good management.
There's a much wider debate about whether kings in the 21st century should be getting money from land, which was taken from people in feudal times. If we're doing something which is of direct good to the public and to the environment, then I would think that there shouldn't be an additional charge levied against that that goes into the pocket of the king.
We did our review of the royal finances over 10 years ago. I would urge those in Parliament to now come back to that. I'd love King Charles to volunteer that he would open up the affairs of all these organisations to much greater public scrutiny at a time when people are feeling poor. It's taxpayers' money. It's your money, it's my money, it's the viewers' money.
A sandy shoreline.
When we approached both duchies for comment, the Duchy of Cornwall told us it is a private estate with a commercial imperative which we achieve alongside our commitment to restoring the natural environment and generating positive social impact for our communities. Prince William has committed to an expansive transformation of the duchy. This includes a significant investment to make the estate net zero by the end of 2032, as well as establishing targeted mental health support for our tenants and working with local partners to help tackle homelessness in Cornwall. The Duchy of Lancaster told us, it operates as a commercial company managing a broad range of land and property assets across England and Wales. It complies with all relevant UK legislation and regulatory standards applicable to its range of business activities. While His Majesty the King takes a close interest in the work of the Duchy, the day-to-day management of the portfolio is the responsibility of the Council and Executive Team.